What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is July 7th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Brandon Woodruff, yeah, he returned, and we are shaking the Woodrust off as he went 6 innings, 1 run, 2 hits, 0 walks, and 8 strikeouts against the Marlins. Oh my gosh, a 41% CSW on this game. He got a King Cole. His four-seamer was great upstairs. His sinker was backdoor to right-handers all day. The changeup was good down away to lefties. The cutter was fine. The sweeper was fine. But really, the thing about Woodruff here was it was so nice to see command actually there with the four-seamer. And we saw a really good vert, 18 to 19 inches of vert there. We saw the velocity also go up. It was 93 for the game, but it was really 92, 93 early on. And actually got harder as he went on. I saw 94 up to 96 actually on that four-seamer. I do imagine we're seeing 94 kind of sticking around by the end of, as he continues to pitch and feel more confident throwing at full velocity, I guess, at full energy, fully putting the pedal down to the floor, right? So that's great with Woodruff. Also, the schedule's so nice. He's going to get the Nationals next. You're going to see possibly into Seattle against the Marlins and the Nationals again. And I just think this is a good situation. So normally when we have these good starters all of a sudden or good starts, we get a bad matchup next. And no, this is actually a perfect combination of taking a chance, also having a lower or a higher floor than we normally would after. So good stuff there with Woodruff. Let's just hope that the velocity does continue to rise a little bit. Michael Lorenzen had an amazing game against the Diamondbacks, got the gold star, 7 innings of 0 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts, 17 whiffs. Oh my gosh, this changeup was so good. 8 over 20 whiffs. So yeah, gold star here. Koufax was very helpful, but it's just one of those games of Lorenzen having things go his way against a good offense, and that's cool. That's great. I'm happy for him, but you know, you should not get him for your fantasy teams. Tarek Skubal aces gonna ace with 20 whiffs, 7 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, 10 Ks, blah, blah, blah. His changeup's amazing. You know the deal. Okay. Trevor Rogers against Atlanta got the win, 6.2 innings of 0 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 6 strikeouts, 14 whiffs. This is so awesome. Trevor Rogers is still doing that Blake Snell blueprint. Four seamers are up. You have changeups and you have breaking stuff down. He did have a few hanging changeups, but this is fine. It is 92, 93. It's not 94. Which we really want to see 94, 95 for Rodgers, but that's not enough for us to hold back against the Marlins. We're still going to go with this. This is a revenge game for him as well. George Kirby against the Pirates got the win, 6.1 innings of 0 runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 9 strikeouts, 19 whiffs, 34% CSW. What was interesting here is that you had the effects of Seattle obviously helping him, and you also had the Pirates helping him because this was a very strange approach. The last two starts, if you've been following closely with the roundup, or maybe just looking at his player page, or just you're a big Kirby fan, you'll know that he has been going four seamers up and sliders down for two straight. One of them, the slider was too far down. It was sub 50% strikes that game, but this last start, oh my gosh, beautiful. Absolute beautiful Blake Snell blueprint. This one, no, it wasn't. Lefties was interesting. Yeah, righties, it was all high sliders with high four-seamers and high sinkers. And then you actually did have good four-seamers against lefties. You had some curveballs also down. But it was weird and not really the kind of approach that we truly want from Kirby, especially against right-handers. I think he got away with a lot there. So I do love the fact that Kirby is throwing less in the zone. That is, he has fewer four-seamers inside the zone and more of them outside. 44% zone rate is so much better than the 55-60% he's had in the past, because then all of a sudden guys aren't just crushing four seamers even though throw them endlessly. They're always swinging at them. This is a much better situation. It's just get that slider down, George Kirby, and then I can really actually crown you as an ace. Gavin Williams, oh my gosh, it's been a journey. It really has this entire season. We've been shouting at Gavin Williams to get his cutter back. And then all of a sudden when he did, he diminished his velocity and his extension. And then when he got those back, then he wasn't throwing strikes anymore. So we actually got strikes. Even though it was 3 walks, it was 6 innings of 0 runs, 1 hit, and 8 strikeouts, 18 whiffs against Detroit. And now he's also adding a sinker. whoa, a sinker? That's cool. Because generally the best pitchers are ones that throw three types of fastballs in the zone. This is a huge thing that we found. Look at Garrett Crochet. Big extension, big velocity, three pitches, three different types of fastballs in the zone. Major success. And Gavin Williams doing that had a lot of success here. You had a sinker to right-handers that got a 60% chase rate. Amazing. 77% strikes. He threw more than his four-seamer to right-handers. The sweeper, somehow, 71% strikes all of a sudden. It's been like a 50% strike rate all season. 7 over 17 whiffs with that. Oh my gosh. And then you have the four-seamer, which is at 96 plus, 70 feet of extension. You have the four-seamer and cutter going upstairs. It's great. The curveball, yeah, sure, 42% strikes, but 5 out of 19 whiffs for Gavin Williams' curveball. Man, I don't know if we can buy this. I don't think we can, because he's just not been this the entire season. But oh my gosh, Gavin, please tell me that you are going to go cutter, four-seamer, sinker for strikes moving forward. Please tell me you are going to be at least a 55% strike sweeper guy. And please tell me your four-seamer and cutter are actually going to be upstairs. Oh, that would be so, so cool. Paul Skeens against the Mariners, also in the T with George Kirby opposite. 5 innings of 0 runs, but of course, no decision. 0 walks and 10 strikeouts. He finally got whiffs. That's cool. You got Chris Devinsky opening for the Mets against the Yankees, and then eventually Brandon Waddle went 2.2 innings, and this was really a bullpen game. And yeah, you don't want this. This is just whatever. Matthew Boyd, by the way, he's an all-star. About Boyd Boys Unite. And I hope you committed a cardinal sin starting against them, as Boyd got the win. 5 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 9 strikeouts. Oh my gosh. He is still heater changeup for the most part. There are sliders and some sinkers and curveballs. Mostly those are reserved for lefties. They're not that great, but the changeup and the four-seamer are still very good. Very good at locating that four-seamer. The home run rate has dropped under 1. It's at 0.87, which is the best home run rate he's ever had. The only time he's been under 1 in a season where he's thrown at least 40 innings. And it's just great. The dead ball, and Wrigley's helping suppress them. It's all cool. Jordan Wicks actually came in relief after 3.1 innings of 0 runs. Is that something? No. Unfortunately, the four-seamer is not as exciting as it used to be, and the changeup is good, but it's not like enough at all if you were to ever get any starts this year. But we probably won't, because the Cubs are going to get someone at the deadline. We know this. I mean, at least they're saying they are. We'll see. Zach Wheeler against the Reds got a win. 9 innings, 1 earned run, 1 hit, 0 walks, and 12 strikeouts. 22 whiffs for Gallo's pull. Yeah, it was a 3-1 fastball down the pipe at 97 that Austin Hayes went to right center field for a home run. That is it. That is the only blemish on this day, and it's so annoying. He deserves to win a Cy Young. He deserves to have a perfect game. Zach Wheeler deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. He's incredible. He has been for, 6 years now? And yeah, that's all I'm really going to say is that Zach Wheeler deserves more. Ryan Gusto against the Dodgers. 6 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? But this is against the Dodgers. Gold star here as well. And I appreciate Koufax helping out a ton, especially when his best pitch, Ryan Gusto's four-seamer, had just a 54% strike rate. That cannot be it. So you expected nothing, and you got something. You got those ratios and a win. No strikeouts, of course. But yeah, this is still kind of weird. Emmett Sheehan is someone we got to talk about. We also got to talk about Drew Rasmussen and Chase Burns and maybe someone else who's involved in one of those games. We're going to talk about all those and more after this break. Emmett Sheehan. I love him more than Rybulski and Kasparis. Of the young Dodgers pitchers, and I like him the most. It seems like Roberts is also favoring him as a proper starter, and for good reason. Because 5 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts here across 80 pitches. It is a Blake Snell blueprint. 4-seamers are upstairs. It is 96 with a 17 inches of vert and a flat attack angle 1.3. That's a phenomenal combination. And also, you have a slider that's going glove side and a changeup going down. He's got it. He understands how this works. I really think that the Dodgers are now going to turn to Sheehan, who has not thrown a ton of innings this year. They're going to lean on him in the second half as kind of their second half workhorse, kind of how they've leaned on Dustin May thus far. And I think they're going to favor him over Rybulski and over Kasparis, as those guys are just going to be their their utility pitchers, essentially. So I am in on Sheehan. I think you should pick him up. I will mention it is likely going to be a six man. I think there's going to be some oddities involved, and you're going to have to deal with that. But I think you're going to like him when he starts. Great win chance, of course, too. Chase Burns against the Phillies. 4.2 innings and 1 run, 2 hits, 4 walks, and 7 Ks. He allowed the first two base runners on, including a walk. And then he mostly settled down after that. He's going to be great, guys. This is very much a stud. It was a 47% strike rate on the slider this game. Fine. But my gosh, he's throwing 99. You know, it's very legitimate. He does sometimes have a curveball and changeup too that I'm sure we're going to see more of over time. He gets Rocky Road coming up. I know it's in Great American Ballpark. Does not matter. It's about the elevation difference and how the ball moves differently than in Colorado. Enjoy that. I really hope he doesn't have to get the Dodgers at the end of July, but if for some reason guys are just done with Burns and they're sick of this and waiting, jump in. You have Drew Rasmussen going only 2 innings because he's being used as an opener now. They are slowing him down for a few starts is what the quote is. It might be until August. I don't know. And then what is it? Going to be 5 innings then? Is it going to be 4? You can drop Drew Rasmussen. It stinks. I know. I get it. Trust me. I had to do it myself. At the same time, understand that Drew Rasmussen was a freebie, right? You got so much production out of it, so much value. Be happy that you had it. And also, if you really can't afford it, sure, hold on to it, and then you'll get it in August and September, hopefully, right? But the other side of this is that Joe Boyle has been called up, and he is now the follower, the piggyback to Drew Rasmussen. So you get a better win chance there. And Boyle went 5 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk in, 7 strikeouts, 15 whiffs, 32% CSW. He landed his four-seamer in zone 62% of the time at 6.8 extension, 98 mile per hour velocity, and a flat 1.3 height adjusted VAA. He also had a 90-91 mile per hour slider for about 60% strikes. However, his non-competitive rate is 16% overall. And what that says is how many of the pitches that Joe Boyle throws that are essentially auto balls and easy takes. And 16% of them. That is not good. That is one per at bat, essentially, closer to it. Not fun, right? So there are P's tendencies here. There's poor execution, awesome stuff. He's not completely removed from the old days of it. But yeah, you should just take a chance on Joe Boyle here. It's pretty clear that, all right, why not? Let's see what happens. You have Hayden Birdsong against the Athletics. The command issues that we've seen are still present. 18% NC rate in this one. Only 45% strikes on both his four-seamer and his changeup, which is just, no, you can't do that. Two most thrown pitches there. But it was 5 innings of 1 run against the Athletics in Sacre Verde for a win. 3 hits, 5 walks, 6 strikeouts. Just get off this train, guys. He is so not worth it. You have David Morgan opening for Cal Hart with the Padres. He went 3.2 innings of 0 runs, 0 hits, 0 walks, and 2 Ks. That's perfect, but it's not perfect because it's really not that good of an arsenal. Not much length here. And you also have really a changeup that mimics the sinker's movement, but just slower, which isn't really what you want. You want more drop to it. The sweeper is good, but it's really trying to kind of be like just sweepers, and maybe the changeup gets better against right-handers. There's just not enough for you to chase Kyle Hart right now. Jack Leiter against the Padres on the other side of it. It was 3.2 innings of 200 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks. Yeah, he's just really chaotic still. 41% CSW on the slider is cool, but it was just all over the place. And I am not seeing Jack Leiter, who's really killing it with his arsenal. It's just really tough. He's a complete piece, and I don't want to chase it. Eric Cabrera, though, I would chase. 7 innings, 200 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 5 strikeouts. Only had 6 whiffs and 90 pitches. However, only 12 four-seamers with a 34% fastball usage overall. That includes a sinker. That is what it should be. It should be 2/3 curveballs and sliders and changeups, and they also earn 2/3 strikes. So 65% plus strikes on them with the Brewers just, yeah, not knowing what to do with these. This is how it should be with Eric Cabrera. There's even still more polish to actually locate all these things properly inside the zone. But the fact that he's leaning so heavily into secondaries and moving away from the four-seamer is a really good thing. Grant Holmes against the Orioles. 6 innings, 200 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 5 strikeouts. He threw a slider to Jackson Holliday for a 2-run shot. Otherwise, yeah, 0 runs. His cutter is becoming a very legit pitch to throw instead of the four-seamer, and I really like that. It's 92 and change instead of 94 and change. It has a little extra movement to it. It's just more effective. And the slider is still incredible. The curve is looking good. Grant Holmes, the real estate broker, is in a good place. I know it's a 7, you know, it's a 1.17 whip. He had 3 walks in there, only 5 Ks, but 17 whiffs. You guys know this is working out well. He's just not getting any run support. Joe Ryan, 6 innings of 2 earned runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts. Ace is going to ace. It's all great here. 94 to 95 on the velocity of the fastball is great. And he actually didn't even locate the four-seamer as well as we've seen. Awesome. Kevin Gausman against the Angels, 5.2 innings of 2 earned runs, 10 base runners, 7 hits and 3 walks, but 9 strikeouts. So you got your Dusty Donut. And it's a little frustrating the fact that Kevin Gausman had the best thing you want, which is 14 called strikes in the four-seamer and 12 whiffs on the splitter, and he still did not give you that glistening outing. It's because his fastball is still too hittable. And that's just kind of what the life is. So the whip is not going to be a low one. That's just, yeah, that's the Gausman way. I'm not in on holding onto this hipster. Garrett Crochet got singled out, so it was 9 hits and 2 walks with 7 Ks and 5 innings of 2 runs against the Nationals. Only 22% CSW, and just under 60% strikes in the four-seamer is the biggest issue here. That should be fixed in the future. You have Tyler Anderson against the Jays, 5 innings, 3 runs, 8 hits, 2 walks, and 2 Ks. He had a little bit of a careful Icarus that he had only 1 earned run through 5, and then he allowed 3 runners on in the 6th for a run. But I will say, actually, he had 2 earned runs before that. But Tyler Anderson's changeup is still very good. I like the fact that he's using that cutter inside to right-handers. The Jays are very good against lefties, and Anderson didn't throw pristine changeups. He had some of them too far up, and they took him down. He gets the Phillies next. That's okay. It's not really something you should be going for. It's more like a 15-teamer play. But Tyler Anderson is a guy to stream in the future. The changeup is just too good. Eric Fede is not a guy you should stream in the future. 1.1 innings of 300 runs. Excuse me. Of 300 runs, 2 hits, 4 walks, and 0 strikeouts. Oh my gosh. Oh man. He's a streamer for poor lineups. Even then is like, okay, I don't really want that. You have Max Fried going against the Mets. Got a win. 5 innings, 300 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks. The ratio's not good. Cutter's really cool. Missed a little bit too much with it. Fine, whatever. Chase DeLander is not good. Even against the White Sox and Coors, you don't want that. Anthony Descafani, that is Tony Disco, the man behind Dancing with the Disco. Yeah, he pitched for the Arizona Diamondbacks, and he's not technically in the rotation, but he might be if they do deal away some of these pieces in the next couple weeks. 4 innings, 4 runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 6 strikeouts here. It was 30% curveballs and 80% sliders, so I guess that's 48% breakers, which kind of makes it Dancing with the Disco. But not as many sliders is kind of weird. Then again, he didn't really have the best feel of that slider. I think that Anthony Descafani might be someone to pay attention to in your deeper leagues in the second half if he does have a regular rotation spot. Shinosuke Ogasawara against the Red Sox. He made his MLB debut. That is, he was signed by the Nationals over the winter, and he's 26 years old, 2.2 innings, 4 runs, 7 hits, 0 walks, and 2 Ks here. He is a crafty lefty at like 90 miles per hour, and you don't want to go for it yet. You might at some point. I think the changeup does have promise here, but it's just not worth it now. Jacob Lopez against the Giants was actually doing well. He had 2 runs through 4 with a very good whip and a lot of strikeouts, but then ran into trouble with the 5th, got 1 out, and 4 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 8 Ks were the end result with 4.1 innings. So you see how it works still. The command-focused approach can be very good. It's just, it is very susceptible. So it's a sit against the Jays, who are good against lefties, right? But then if he gets Texas or Cleveland after the All-Star break, you might want to chase it, especially if you're going after strikeouts. And then you have Shane Smith in Coors, 4.1 innings of 5 earned runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 2 strikeouts. It was okay until the 5th frame. He had 5 whiffs on the night and had some Koufax to get him through whatever he could. He couldn't get that slider down and away. He did have some good kick changeups at 77% strikes. He's really kind of just a streamer at the end of the day. He hasn't really been a guy that goes 6-7 innings. The White Sox are not a high win team. He hasn't really put it all together yet. So you might want to just sit out until he does. But that is it for today. Enjoy Yu Darvish today. I'm really excited to see what he brings to the table. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.